Well, it's good to be back in the house. It's great to be back here amongst you. And I just want to start by saying I believe that the same words that Jesus spoke that many years ago, that he spoke with power, he wants to speak to us again today with the same power. He wants to challenge us and shape us in the same way as he did 2,000 years ago. Do you believe that? Well, my prayer is that God will open your heart more to what he has to say to you today. Well, as Donna mentioned, we have been on holidays, and I just ducked out to put my microphone on, and thanks for showing the deck, darling, because there's quite a few red cards. I think I've got enough building work to see me out till next February, so for those people who fill that out. But we've been on a holiday. It was a great time at Boonderma. Then, like I said, getting the hands dirty was good. Down in Sydney, we do the big drive. And one thing you got to understand is when we do the big drive, there's something that we can't go without. It's something, and I think it's actually universal. You cannot do a 10-hour drive without this. Yeah. In fact, I think it was one of my kids' first words was Donald's, right? Forget mum and dad, Donald's. But look, we love Macca's. You know what? It just fills that hole. Toilets, usually servo, it does all that. And one of the things, if you've known me for a while and you sit and listen to me long enough, you'll hear that I do have one bugbear. And it's around this. Who's getting hungry right now? Look, I do love my fries. And you look up at that board and it has about 10,000 different options in how you can actually have your meal, and you see the fries like that, and it's like heaven opens up and this ray of sunshine comes down. But then the reality is, what happened to them? And I can't handle it. I think it'd be like, you get a car brochure and we're going to buy this car and then it comes without a bonnet. So if you know me, I don't like being ripped off. So I am one who will go back and go, really? Who else is a take your fries back kind of person? All right. What I learned last night, speaking about on Saturday night, is there's usually one in every family. You only need one. Because if there's four fries and they're all a bit of a dud, as long as someone is willing to take them back. All right. Well, you know what? Like I said, I don't like this idea of being ripped off. I don't like this idea of having a bad deal. Right? And the thing is, when you actually look at this passage that Rin read to us, I think it sounds a little bit like this rich young ruler got ripped off. He copped a bad deal. Here he is, this guy who says, what do I need to do to get to heaven? I've done quite a few good things, he says. And Jesus says, all that wealth you've got? Get rid of it. Sell it all. Sell the farm. And come and follow me. And he's like, if only you knew how much I had. And he walks away, disappointed. And Jesus lets him go. I kind of think, far out, didn't this guy cop a bad deal? He's done so much good. But of course he wouldn't sell it all. He walks away unhappy. It would be easy for us to read that on face value and think, this guy got a bad deal. He got ripped off. And friends, before we slam the Bible shut, and go, if that's what following Jesus means, that you just fall that little bit short, well, that's a pretty bad deal. So before we slam the Bible shut on that, I want to unpack it further. I want us to scratch a little bit below the surface, delve deeper. Because I think what you'll see is actually there's a different view and a better understanding. You see, when you look at this rich young guy, he made quite a bit of money. And see, he walks into this situation not inquiring, not looking to find out. He walks into this situation with his chest out to be validated, to be celebrated by Jesus. He was like, what else do I need to do? Well, he was ultimately saying, look at me. And the irony is, if you've got your Bibles open or your app open, if you thumb back and look at through Luke 18, you'll actually see that Luke 18 is all about Jesus turning status upside down. You know, right at from the get-go, verse 1, a widow who had no voice, Jesus validates her. And then a tax collector who is not seen of any worth, Jesus holds his prayer up as one that we should follow. And then a little bit further on, children. What does it say? Children should be seen and not. But what does Jesus do? Probably one of the famous scriptures that you'll hear at a dedication or a christening. Let the little children come to me. So Jesus turns this stuff upside down. And so when this rich young man who just heard this walks into this setting, this crowd, with his arm, his chest out, and starts with, good teacher. You know, he was a rich man. So it was a sign of endearment or celebration. You know, so in real words, if he would say, good teacher, how Jesus probably should respond is, good sir. So he was actually putting himself up there on the same level. So with his chest out, it was, good teacher. And he was expecting, good sir. But Jesus responded with, no one's but good. And so I suppose in first, that was Jesus just taking the shine off his armor. Because as we know, for Jesus, status is nothing. And so this became a status adjustment. And so with this man's question, what else do I need to do for eternal life? He was actually there to be validated, to be celebrated. But Jesus started to chip away at him. And so he starts with this idea that, you know, you're not good. Only God is good. And then Jesus says, well, what about the Ten Commandments? How are you going with that? Which he quickly replied, I'm nailing them. Like there was not even a breath. Which again just shows how where ego had, he could not see any scars on his resume. Now these I've been doing since I was a boy. I'd like to think that if we quizzed us here and said, how are we going? You might stop and think, Well, there was that time. Look, you know when they give you, they mark yourself out of 10? No one gives themselves a 10, do they? I always reckon that 6 to 7's that comfortable spot. It's like, yeah, I'm doing all right. Whatever it is, 6 to 7. But this guy, no, I'm a 10. I'm up there. What must I do? You know, you could almost picture him. He's got his hand up. He's just hanging for that high five. Come on, give me one, Jesus. And you know, I think about us as, especially the longer I walk this journey of faith, I reckon there are times when I probably just want a bit of that validation, love. I'll be honest with you, there's times when I thought, gee, you know, I left everything in Sydney to come up here. Doreen, not again. You went last time I preached. God bless you, darling. But you know what? There's times when you actually do want a pat on the back. You do want to feel like, hey, you know what? I have given up a fair whack for you, Jesus. I do deserve something. Look at what I've given. Look at what I've done. Don't forget me. And yes, we want to celebrate transformation, but there comes a point where we want to be careful we don't get too hungry for it. We don't long for it. So anyway, we see Jesus leaving this guy hanging. He's got his hand out for the high five. I've done all this. I've nailed it. And then Jesus hits him with verse 22. You still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. Sell everything. Give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. That is massive. Sell everything. Give the money to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. Oh, how hard is it to hear that? Well, friends, I want to tell you today, it's not about the money. This isn't about the money. You see, this is actually about power and about prestige. I want to show you a little illustration. We didn't just leave this ladder out. So what you probably don't realize is that all of us internally have a value system. And what we value determines what our behavior, determines the decisions we make. And so you might, the things that are most important to you go further up the ladder. So for us, we have a dog. Our dog's pretty important to us, but that's right. Now, you might put these in different spots. What about your leisure time? Actually, you know, I value that. Actually, we've been blessed with a great house. All right? Actually, I love my job. Education, actually, has been great. Having a couple of letters after my name is always handy when I'm writing an email to someone who cares. Friends. Actually, I like being liked. That's pretty valuable to me. You know, looking in the mirror. family. You know what? Even belonging here, being a part of a great church. Donna and I have a great marriage. It's a high value to us. And for the rich young ruler, this was there. And so when Jesus said, "Where do I sit?" For this rich young fella, money sat above. It wasn't about the money, friends. It was about what stood above his faith in Jesus. Because, and what Jesus is saying is, if I'm not at the top, if I'm not Lord of everything, I'm not Lord. And so for him, a values adjustment meant sell everything, give the money to the poor, and I'll be number one. Your money is standing in the way of me being at the top. It's not about the money. Whatever is above Jesus is getting in the way of him being number one. And Mark chapter 9, it says this, "And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two and be thrown into hell." That was another way of him saying, he's not saying go around and rip your eye out, but he's saying if something is stopping you from having me at number one, get rid of it. It's that simple. And for those who have been through addiction, I bet you could totally get that. That something has sat at number one and as a result has destroyed everything that goes below it. Because let's be honest, when whatever's at number one, you'll lose everything. You'll bet the whole farm to hunger after that. So if you can make Jesus number one, and that's what he was saying to this rich young guy, you make me number one, and you're going to change the world. It wasn't about the money. It was about what was at number one. But in a perfect contradiction, friends, I do want to say it's all about the money. All right? It is all about the money. Because it's important that we also say, look, money is a commodity that we need. But it also has this cancerous ability to consume us, eat us, and adjust us to ways that God doesn't want. It will consume you. It can take your eyes off the need for God. Because let's be honest, when we got money, we don't need for much else. Our faith diminishes. Our heart for other people changes. We become harder in our heart towards supporting others. And that's where Jesus said, in fact, he goes, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And so the camel through the eye of the needle, today we would say pigs might fly. Okay, it's the same kind of thing. So if you say pigs might fly before a rich man gets into heaven, that's what he was saying here. All right? But the key here is that he said a rich man. Because rich isn't an amount. Rich is an attitude. Rich is a mindset. Someone can think of themselves as rich with $100 in the way that they treat it. And someone can be generous with $1 million. And what Jesus is saying here is, actually, if you've got a rich attitude where your money is what validates you, clinging on to it for survival is what's going to hold you, being consumed to protect it, grow it, then that kind of rich view, pigs might fly. So I thought, I just wanted to, yes, we do need money, but we need to control it. We need to tame it. So there's a couple of ways in which I just want to take a few steps for us to keep our money in check. It's sort of like the lion tamer, you know, with the chair and the whip. I couldn't find a picture of a lion tamer with that with a dollar bill up there, but if I could, and I couldn't bring a lion, live lion in here, so anyway. Gee, OH&S these days. But here's a couple of tips. If you want to keep your money, because we're not saying sell the farm, but we're saying keep your money in check. Whether you've got a dollar or a million, this is still important. Honour the Lord first, all right? Make your tithe and your giving to God a number one priority. Because if you give him the first fruits, that's what's saying, God, I hold you at number one. The great thing is he lets us live off the 90%. He's only after 10. And that 10% is about saying, God, I keep trusting you with it. Honour the Lord first. Giving back to God keeps God at the top of the ladder. Second one, this is a big one. Pray about it often. Who prays about their money? Where it's coming from, where it's going, what you're doing to invest it, what God wants you to do to give it away. Give thanks to God for your ability to earn it, to save it. He has entrusted you with it. So give thanks to him for that. Ask God to show you, is there any added things you should be doing to make your money go further? Are there other people that you should be speaking to get wise counsel? Pray for wisdom, for purchases, for bargains. If God knows that you're honouring him with his money, why wouldn't he want that dollar to go further? We do that here at church. We pray, God, open the floodgates, show us where we are going to be blessed. And you know what keeps coming? You see it? It's sitting out on the grass. There's piles of mulch there we didn't pay for. One day someone will find out and come looking for it. No, just joking. Huh? But pray about your money. Third one, use your money to build the kingdom. You know, whatever the Lord has blessed you with, he wants you to use that for his sake. Now, if he's blessed you with a home, open it. Have people over. If he's blessed you with a car and you see a friend standing at the bus stop, pull over and give him a lift. If he's blessed you with the ability to buy a cup of coffee, wait a little longer until you can afford to give one away. You got the idea? If God has blessed you with money, no matter how much, have a kingdom perspective, how you can enrich others, how you can build up the kingdom with your money. And the last one there, check yourself. Every now and again, you need to either look in the mirror, make sure, am I still honouring the Lord with this? Because I tell you what, I know for me, this is a constant wrestle, right? It's not one you just lock in once and it's good for go, good to go. And if you're not sure, if you're not a great judge of where your money is sitting with you, find someone you trust and ask them to be honest. Because I can tell you, we're great at seeing it in other people. We're great at being everyone else's judge. Sometimes we're just not good at it ourselves. All right, so if you're not sure, ask someone. Friends, a great verse from Luke 12. For everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who's been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We have been blessed with abundance. God is wanting us to honour him with that. So when we say it's not about the money, it is about the money, but it's about us honouring God with our money. All right. And the last thing in this passage that I just want to touch on is this shift that goes on. This young ruler comes and asks, what do I need to be saved? What do I need to do to get to heaven? But Jesus actually shifts the game. He changes the story and he says, it's not about going to heaven. It's about being my disciple. What did he say? He said, sell everything. Heaven will be sorted. And come and follow me. This is what being a disciple means. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. You know, this is what we are called to actually follow Jesus with our money, follow Jesus in the everyday stuff. You know, there's this book by a guy by the name of John Ortberg, and he says, Eternity is Now in Session. That's the book. And in fact, in that, he makes this great quote. He says, we think we go to heaven to feel good, to relax. But heaven is actually more about being with God than it is about feeling good. This is what being a disciple is, being with God. And it wasn't just a one-off thing for the rich young ruler. Jesus was saying, come and be with me. And he still offers that same invitation to us today, to be with God, to follow him. You know, what does that look like for us? You know, some people say, how do I follow Jesus today? Well, first we submit our life to him. We say, God, I want to put you number one. And then we actually ask questions about what are the decisions I need to make? Following God is about what I say yes to, what we laugh at, what we stand up against, what we celebrate, what we want to become, what we value and what we spend our time on. All these things will depend on where these things sit and what keeps God at the top. It's not easy because every decision we make is moving this stuff around. You know, I would say growing up, when I've heard the term God's grace, it's a term in the Bible. It's probably been shown to me as this idea of God's love. Yeah, God pouring out his love. But actually, Ortberg in this book, he shifts it a little bit and he actually says that God's grace is more about God's power. All right? God's power available to us. And there's a quote that God's grace is better defined as God's power at work within us to do what we normally can't do on our own. Friends, it's only by God's grace at work that we can keep him at the top. Because on my own, I don't think naturally of other people. I don't want to open my home, be generous, look at others, build each other up. It doesn't come naturally to me. But it's God's power at work in me. I'm going to invite the band up. See, because God's power at work in us gives us the ability to change the ladder. And for some of us, maybe this isn't even on the ladder. No matter what your addiction is, it could even be friends, it could be status, yeah, even education. But what I know is God's power is at work and wants to put him at the top. You know, today, it might also be money. Maybe it's someone who's been walking with Jesus for 40, 50 years, and today God has said, you know what, you've never prayed to me. You've never asked me what to do with my money. And so, we're going to sing together. And I believe for some of us, today is about alignment. I don't know if you've ever driven a car when the wheels are out of alignment. You get to that point and the wobble starts and the steering wheel goes. It can feel a bit exciting for a little bit, right? But you know, you almost fear going too fast. You fear going too far because of the wobble. And so, but when you finally get that wheel in alignment, oh, how good does it feel? You think, how did I put up with this for so long? Friends, I reckon today there's people here who have been dealing with a wobble. With some of the things on your ladder have just been a little bit out of alignment. And today's the day Jesus is saying, you know what, come to me. We're going to straighten that up and you will drive straight. Who wants to drive straight today? Who wants to drive straight? Who wants to get rid of the wobble? I'm going to pray and then we're going to sing. And if you want to come forward, maybe today's the day you say, God, take away the wobble. Let me get this in alignment. Don't walk away disappointed like the rich young ruler. Be the one who says, yes. God, we thank you and praise you for the way your word still speaks to us today. You come upon us with power and your Holy Spirit wants to transform us every day, everyone. And Lord, we take this visual picture and we align it to our lives. And your call upon us is to put you number one. So God, if there's anything in any of us that needs a bit of alignment to put you back in your rightful place, Lord, we pray that you will work amongst us. Allow us the freedom to come forward, to make a public stance so that this will mean something today. Have your way in us now and forevermore, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.